Monday, we're back, and Jesus, what a day it's been. The amount of people who are supporting Meghan and Harry, and rightly so. After the big interview was broadcast last night. I didn't watch the interview. I didn't need to watch it because I already knew what was going to happen. It was going to be the same as Diana. And I'm glad that people are, especially Meghan. Meghan is speaking out against that horrible, horrible woman. Look, I'm not going to talk about it that much because it's been well broadcast all over social media and all over mainstream media. But wow. I mean, I'm surprised people are shocked about it because what were you expecting? Were you really expecting Meghan to hold back? If you really were thinking that, then you really are dumb. I do strongly believe that, you know, with this whole cancel culture that's trending at the moment, I really do think we should just cancel the royal family. It costs everyone who lives in the UK far too much money. In fact, it costs more money than planning for a wedding, and it costs more money than having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It costs a lot of money, and that's why you get taxed a lot. You know, that money isn't for fixing roads or fixing the rail network. It's a great excuse, and it works because people are that dumb and they believe it. No, all that money that you get taxed for goes to the royal family. So I really do think the royal family's dead. It's kind of like kind of like radio in a way. It's dead. It's old. It's stale. It's irrelevant. I don't know anyone who finds the royal family that relevant. I mean, I include British people. I mean, I know a few British people who live abroad and who live in the UK, and they don't see anything interesting about the royal family. So, really, I think if you're not going to cancel the royal family, then I think you should, I think the royal family should just take a back seat and be like other royal families, you know, like the Dutch or the Spanish or the Danish royal family, because they've taken a back step from the limelight. And you only see the royal family or those royal families when, you know, there's some kind of special event. Like, for example, here in the Netherlands, you get a King's Day. So, of course, you see the royal family, then you see the king. I think that's what should happen now, because at the moment, just cancel it. Honestly, cancel the royal family. By the way, we're doing a few things differently here at Amsterdam Lab. We're trialing some new features here. So at the moment, as I speak, we are live effectively we're live on Podbean. There is a link to the page, so go click on it and you can listen to us live. By the way, if you are listening to this podcast, chances are I'm not going to be live. But don't worry, we will be live again on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week. It's all because of our birthday week. We turn 5 months old. On Saturday, but you know, obviously none of us work here on Saturday at Amsterdam Lab. So we're bringing it forwards to Friday, and it's all part of us being innovative and testing some stuff. Testing to see if it works. And there's a few other features that we're going to be introducing. We're working on WhatsApp. We're working on that to get that up and running. So you can also, you can send us a message. So for example, if you are listening to us live, you can send us a message and tell us what you think of the show or of what we're talking about. You can also call us once, obviously, you know, once WhatsApp is up and running. It'll be interesting. It'll be fun to chat to our valued listeners. It'd be fun to know where you're listening to us from, whether it's from the Netherlands, from Europe, America, South America, Asia, South Africa, wherever. I mean, I'm hoping people will call us from places where I don't even think they have phones. So there's lots that we're doing behind the scenes here at Amsterdam Lab, and I'm happy. There's a lot of good things happening. We're starting to oil the pipes, and we're getting things started. The press conference is on tonight. The Dutch press conference. Again, I don't need to watch it, because I already know what's going to happen. Stuff has been leaked in the press. The curfew's still going to be here until at least the end of this month. But there is a chance that retail stores will open next week. So we'll be able to do shopping again. There's a strong possibility of that. Because, you know, you see, I was in central Amsterdam today. You know, I was walking, I thought, oh, well, I'm free today, so I'll grab a coffee, because obviously you can't sit inside. So I grabbed a coffee, and I was just walking around the center of Amsterdam. And it's so strange, because there are retail stores like Zara, or Zara, if you want to be posh, Uniqlo, and there's some other clothing stores that have appointments only. So effectively what that means is you have to book online, and then you can basically be a personal shopper, or they do the personal shopping for you. I'm not too sure how it works, but it's really strange, because I was walking past Uniqlo, and it's almost like you're getting a takeaway from a fast food chain. Because you're waiting outside, and then they collect your items in a bag and say, yeah, thank you very much for shopping at Uniqlo. Have a nice day. You may as well just carry on shopping online until everything opens again. But it's an experiment, and look, there are some people who are into that kind of stuff. I don't really see the point in that, but you know, I'm looking forward to things opening again. Obviously, slowly. You know, Mark Rutte still going on about the spread of the virus and all of that. So look, as things are starting to open up slowly, I'm hoping the curfew will obviously come to an end by the end of this month, because obviously, I would like to go back to the studio and start broadcasting from the studio. And yeah, we've got, you know, amongst other things, obviously, as I say, we are trialing some features here at Amsterdam Lab. We've got some new shows that I'm going to be talking to you about throughout the week. We've got some new shows coming up on Amsterdam Lab. We're going to be talking to some of those people throughout the week. So I'm very excited. Lots to indulge yourselves with. Mario says again, this guy is busy. He's lots of meetings, and Natasha is also busy. She's taken up a new project. So, there's lots going on here at AmSam Lab, and it's we're growing. We're like a baby, you know. 5 months ago, we had teething problems. We were still figuring out how to go live, but now we know how to go live. Now you can listen to us live. So make sure, from obviously, as I say, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are I'm not live. But from Tuesday, so from tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and onwards, we're going to be live on Podbean. But there'll be a link on our Facebook page. So go onto Facebook and type in AmSam Lab if you haven't already liked us. What the fuck is wrong with you? So like us, and you will see the link on our page. So make sure you are listening. 8 p.m. Central Eastern Time. You'll need to just figure out what time that is in your country. And then you can listen to us live. And we're working on WhatsApp. So you can message us throughout the show. You can call us. Be interesting. Who knows? Maybe someone is listening to us from Kazakhstan. You know, these things are... You never know. I get surprised every day. By people who listen to us. All right. I went to go and view a house yesterday because, you know, amongst other things here at AmSam Lab, I'm also looking at moving. And I saw this advert yesterday, and this place was in Amstelveen. And I thought, oh, cool. It looked really nice from the pictures I saw. And the price was really nice, too. So I thought, okay, let me message the person and see what happens. And, you know, we arranged a time to go and see the place. And it turns out this place, because Natasha also stays in Amstelveen. And by the way, if you know Martin Garrix, he's from Amstelveen. I mean, basically, they redesigned the city for Martin Garrix. But anyway, so I went to this place, and it was about 5 minutes from where Natasha lives. I'm not kidding. It's about that. That's how close I was to Natasha's house. And anyway, the person who posted the advert couldn't be there, but someone else, he said to me, look, someone else is going to be there to show you the place. So I said, oh, that's fine, no problem. Oh, man. I'll tell you what, the moment I walked in, this place smelled like a petting zoo. Now, if you've ever been to a petting zoo, you would know what exactly I'm talking about. You know, because you know the petting zoo, horses and ponies and donkeys and goats and sheep, you know, they're all shit everywhere. And that's exactly what it smelled like. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. That's exactly what it smelled like. So that was the first thing I smelled the moment I walked in. So there was obviously a animal of some sort that was living there. Either that or the people that live there just didn't bath. But anyway, I thought, okay, well, I'm here. Let me go inside. And that place looked nothing like the picture that I saw in the adverts. In fact, the only thing that resembled the picture was the backyard. It looked nothing like the pictures that were published on the website. The whole place was just it was almost like a completely different place I went to. But you know, and then the worst thing is, so now, you know, I'm at the end of my supposed viewing, and I just want to get the fuck out of there. But now the person who's showing me the place is like, no, just wait 1 second. I'm gonna phone him. You can speak to him. Tell him what you think. Tell him what you think. Tell him which room you like. really, do I have to? So anyway, you know, I'm talking to this guy, and thank God I'm a good bullshitter. I mean, if there's one thing that radio taught me in all the years that I've worked on radio, is that it teaches you to be a really good bullshitter, a really good storyteller. And I told this guy the biggest load of shit. I didn't even believe it when I was telling him that, but he fell for it. You know, he asked, you know, he normal questions. So, you know, the place is available now. When would you be interested in taking it? So I said, well, you know, since it's not furnished, I still need to buy furniture. And, you know, so I'm looking at about a week. Okay. And what room do you want? So I said, well, you know, what room is available? So, you know, I'm pretending to be interested in this place. Anyway, I couldn't wait to get off that phone. And that was the last I spoke to him. Of course, you know, I said, I'll let you know as soon as I get back. As soon as I get back to my place, I'll let you know everything. And I still haven't let the guy know anything. You know, he's messaged me and asked me what's happening. It really irritates me. You know, despite the smell that was in that place, despite it smelling like a petting zoo, it's just that it was a completely different place from the pictures I saw. And it's stuff like that really annoys me. Why do you do this? It's unnecessary. It really is. It really is unnecessary that. So thankfully, I'm not a complete idiot, and I didn't negotiate anything. I didn't put any money down. But I feel sorry for people. I feel sorry for people who are going to go and view the place, because they were the kind of people that pressure you and put you in a very awkward, uncomfortable situation. You don't do that to me, because if you're going to do that to me, I'm just going to play with you. I'm going to play a game with you. Don't do that to me. Anyway, let's get into some news, because a lot happened over the weekend, apart from the big interview that took place yesterday. And by the way, someone's actually messaged the show live via Podbean. Because, you know, if you are listening to the show on Podbean, you can put there's a little message box there, you can type a message. Someone's actually said, someone's messaged the show to say they're waiting for Madeleine McCann to turn up as a distraction for Elizabeth. Because, yes, that's all that she needs right now is a distraction. I see the royal family, I see the royal family has yet to come out publicly and denounce the interview, because, you know, that's usually what they do. They're yet to come out. Apparently they're taking their time, which makes it even more, which just shows you just how bad that family is. I'm sure the Queen knows exactly where Madeleine McCann is. I'm sure she does. Please keep those messages coming in. I am loving this. You know, can you imagine if can you imagine if the Queen had her own market, you know, her own stock market? She probably does, but it's not public. But can you imagine if she did have her own public stock market? It would be so interesting. I would love to see just how much her market has dived, or has taken a dive since the interview. Probably everyone's just pulled out, even Prince Andrew. So it'll be so interesting to hear and see if, you know, if the Queen did have her own stock markets and just how much her markets would have dived. So yeah, please keep the messages coming in. I am loving these messages. All right, let's get into some news on the show. And as I said, obviously there's a press conference happening here in the Netherlands. Nothing we shouldn't be expecting. Obviously the curfew is going to be extended again, but there is positives. Apparently it could be ended by the end of this month, which is good. International travel, well, the ban on international travel is set to be extended until April 15th. I mean, we can't go anywhere anyway, but anyway, that's set to be extended. But there are positives. As I said earlier, retail stores are set to be opening from next week, potentially, so you'll be able to do your shopping again. There's also outside terraces. Those could be opening up next week, so you can go drink and have coffee and sit and have coffee. So things are slowly starting to get back to normal, which is terrific. I think this is what we need. Government advisors have told the public broadcaster, NOS, that the current infection rate is still too high to allow further changes. Following the opening of secondary schools and allowing for shops to welcome customers by appointments, which started earlier this month. Now, ministers are expected to open the door to changes at the end of this month as infection rates decline. Now, obviously, as I said, this means limited openings for cafes and terraces and physical lessons at HBO colleges and universities can also open. So it's really good. I'm glad about this. There's also talks that ministers will also look at the option of giving people who have been vaccinated who have negative fast tests more freedom. Although they are keen not to raise suggestions to people who are being forced to have vaccinations against their will. Ministers also agreed that people working on the election, such as vote counters and polling station volunteers, they'll be exempt from the curfew on the 15th, 16th, and 17th during the general election. Now, apparently, according to Hugo de Jong, apparently the Dutch are putting together their own version of a travel pass, but instead of a booklet, it'll be on your phone. So you'll take a picture of a QR code. So you know if you go for a corona test or if you get vaccinated, you'll take a picture of that QR code, and it'll be stored on your profile, so to speak. So when you go to a restaurant, a bar, a coffee shop, the airport, wherever, I assume you'll show the person, look, this is what I'm negative, and I suppose they'll let you in. I think that's a much better idea than carrying two books with you or a book with you. And speaking of QR codes, by the way, I'm not making this up, by the way. It took me until 2 weeks ago, almost 2 weeks ago, to actually figure out how to use a QR code. That's how uneducated I am with technology. I had to take a QR code because this place I was at, I needed to use the Wi-Fi. And in order for me to use the Wi-Fi, I needed to use the QR code. So I said to the person, look, I have no idea. What do I need to do? So they said, oh, you need to go to your camera, just take a picture, or just show your camera at this barcode, and then it will do the rest for you. Man, I was like born again when I learned this. I'm well chuffed now. Now, everywhere I go, I scan QR codes just because it's cool, because I know how to do it. So I guess that's what's going to happen. Because I know last year summer, when they eased all the restrictions, if you went to a bar, a restaurant, or anywhere where you had to be seated, you had to fill in that online registration, which anyone could lie. Because it asked you questions, have you had any of these sicknesses in the last 7 days? Anyone, I'm pretty sure 90% of the people lied on that. I'm sure even I lied. I think, in fact, I did. I lied on a few things. Not that I did have any sickness, but, you know, that was a pretty stupid idea. I remember when I arrived in the Netherlands last year, and in fact, that's also another celebration. May is when I'll be celebrating 1 year, so lots of celebrations. We got 5 months here at Amsterdam Lab on Friday, and then in May I'll be celebrating 1 year that I've been in the Netherlands. But I remember when I left London to come to Amsterdam, I was flying on KLM, and they gave you this piece of paper. I kid you not. It was from the Dutch government, by the way, and it wasn't as if KLM just wrote up some quick questions. This was from the Dutch Health Ministry, so it was official paper. It was official documents. So I got handed this piece of paper as we landed at Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, and you had to fill out this piece of paper. And it asked you, do you or have you suffered from any of these sicknesses in the last 7 days? Or have you been around anyone with any of these sicknesses? So, of course, I said no. And we landed at the airport, and I gave it to one of the security, because they were asking people for this piece of paper, and that was it. She didn't ask me any questions. She didn't take my temperature. Nothing. Nothing. So, yeah, I think something like this is good, because it's almost like it's an ink, if I can use that. So, yeah, I think something like that, it's because it will be permanently stored on this app. You can't lie about it. So I think this is a good idea, a very, very good idea. Hey, by the way, it's disappeared off my screen. Listen to this. Now, the Seychelles, apparently, if you want to go to the Seychelles and you're from South Africa, well, you can't. And it's not because they don't like South Africa. Apparently, it's to keep Britain happy. I'm not making this up. Now, the Seychelles will reopen its borders to international travelers on the 25th of March. But visitors from South Africa have been specifically excluded from this reopening and will not be granted entry to the island nation. Now, the reason for this is because the Seychelles fears it will be stuck on the UK's red list of banned countries if it allows South Africans to visit. Now, they went further into this and said it's to protect the European market, as noted by the Seychelles Minister of Foreign Affairs and Tourism. And it's interesting. Apparently they will allow South Africans in, but they need to speak to the UK first. So I don't know how that's going to work out, but, the government has done everything in its power to make sure that the population is protected. The Seychelles has launched an immunization drive, which has administered jabs to almost 70% of the population. European travelers will be allowed, including UK, excluding other third countries. So, very interesting. They say they are in discussions with the UK authorities to better understand what their problem is and how to resolve it. And once resolved, they will reopen to everyone, including South Africa. So there you go. Britain's getting their way again. Honestly, it's ridiculous. Now, Burger King has... Burger King sent a tweet today. If you don't have Twitter, you wouldn't need to be on Twitter in order to see this tweet, because, as I said, it was all over the press. It was all over mainstream media. Basically, Burger King wanted to be... they wanted to set the example, but they set the example in the wrong way in regards to their wording. Now, obviously, they tweeted something that said "Women belong in the kitchen," and it was to promote its new scholarship for female chefs. The restaurant said it was drawing attention to the lack of female females in the kitchen. I'm not going to say that word. Fuck's sakes. Some on social media said that the messaging was tone deaf and vowed not to eat at the restaurant again. What's interesting is that a KFC-affiliated account on Twitter, KFC Gaming, it was kind of clever because they replied back to the tweet and they said the best time to delete this post was immediately after posting it. The second time is now. I think, look, they probably, there is a lot of this cancel culture and all of that going on. I think whoever thought up this tweet didn't think it was going to cause such a stir. But if you read the tweet, it's kind of derogatory, if I can use a better word. But of course, the tweet followed. So, women belong in the kitchen, and then they replied to their tweet as a thread, and it says if they want to, of course. They go on to say only 20% of chefs are women, and we're on a mission to change that gender ratio in the restaurant industry by empowering female employees with opportunity to pursue a career in the kitchen. So look, it was a bit of a bad taste in the mouth. I get their idea of what they wanted to do. But it was a bit of a bad taste in the mouth. So, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens at Burger King. And by the way, can I just say, since we are on this topic, I just want to say, happy International Women's Day to everyone who listens to the podcast, to all our female listeners, which, by the way, I was having a look at the figures yesterday of the show, and females, we have more female listeners than male listeners, which I'm thrilled about. It's terrific. So I just want to say happy International Women's Day. You all deserve a lot more credit and accolades than us men give you. I think with, you know, with the abuse some most men give females, and the way some men treat females, especially in some countries in the Middle East, I think you deserve a lot more than, you know, just saying Happy International Women's Day. You deserve a whole lot of credit and accolades than we actually give you. So just want to get that message out there. Just remember that. You guys all deserve a hell of a lot more than us men are supposed to give you. Now, it's very interesting. Now, apparently there's supposed to be a 4-day week, right? Now, listen to this. This is very interesting. They're working on, Europe is working on a 4-day week. So we can tell our boss that a 4-day week is coming soon. They've actually trialed this in Finland, and it's actually done really well. But of course it will, because, I mean, I think Finland has the highest suicide rates in Europe. I'm not making this up, by the way. There was some information. When was it? I think last year I read Finland has the highest suicide rates. Apparently, it's got to do with daylight savings, because obviously in summertime, it stays daytime for 24 hours for like 2 weeks or something like that. And in winter, you hardly see the sun. It's just dark. So there's a lot of suicide rates in Finland, which is why the government has introduced such measures like 4-day weeks. And they've actually seen a slow drop in suicide rates, but also in productivity. So I think a 4-day week is good. We all need an extra day, because I felt even this weekend that I had, although I didn't do a hell of a lot, I felt like it was just it was too little. So I think we need a 4-day week, definitely. Now, the amount of people who recommend a 4-day week, it's gone up in the polls. So it started off in 2016, 13.9% people wanted a 4-day week. And then in 2018, that went to 17.8%. 2019, it went up to 40%. Last year, well, none of us really worked last year, so I guess we kind of had a 4-day week every week. Well, last year that figure went to 59.9%, and now stats from early this year, 2021, sits at 61.6%. So I think a 4-day week is what's needed. I really do think that for productivity, I think it's we need that. We all need a 4-day week. I mean, there's times when you know we've had a really busy week here at Amsterdam Lab, and then it's the weekend, and oh, it's Monday again, and we have to do the show. So let's see. We won't know unless we try it. Very quickly, I just want to say that this weekend I was on Skyscanner. Because, you know, I was interested to know where we could travel to. I wasn't expecting a hell of a lot, but I was just interested to know where we could travel to. And I must say, the Skyscanner app, do yourselves a favor. Download the Skyscanner app. Because it gives you such a detailed description and information about every country's entry requirements. You know, I was just curious to see what countries, which borders are open. And, you know, if you go onto the Skyscanner app, it'll say your destination. So you put your destination and where you're leaving. So you put Amsterdam. And then, for example, you put Stockholm in Sweden. And it gives you a detailed description of entry requirements, as in not visa requirements, COVID requirements. And surprisingly, there aren't actually any quarantine requirements in Stockholm. You can actually go to Stockholm and not quarantine. But when you come back to the Netherlands, you have to quarantine. It also, for example, if you want to go to Germany, it says only Germans or people with German residency cards can enter Germany for the moment. And you must go, I think it's 10 days quarantine once you enter Germany. And you must have a negative COVID test and all of that. So very interesting. If you are looking to go to travel, you know, possibly mid-April, in May, when supposedly all the borders are going to open, download the Skyscanner app. It's really interesting. Very, very interesting. It gives you a detailed description of every country's COVID-19 entry requirements. So you don't even have to go to that country's embassy's website. It's all there for you in front of you. I think that's pretty cool. Pretty, pretty cool. Now, I don't understand why first world governments can't be like this. I really can't understand this, but most of the cabinet in the Paraguayan government, well, they all resigned on Saturday, I think. Yeah, Saturday. And they resigned because of how they've handled this pandemic, how they've handled the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, that is just, you'll never see that here in Europe. I mean, today there was news from Germany that someone from Angela Merkel's party and someone from a party that's the same but different to Angela Merkel's party, both of those members have resigned because of corruption, something to do with face masks. The amount of corruption that is going on in Europe at the moment with COVID-19 is ridiculous. I cannot believe that this is going on. And this is why I say this will never happen in Europe. You know, the government won't resign like they have in Paraguay. I think this is terrific news, and I think Paraguay is actually setting the example for each and every other country. You know, if you aren't up for the job, then you need to step down and let someone else try. At least let them try and you know, resolve it. Paraguay's president Mario Benitez said that he will name new cabinet ministers amid unrest over his government's handling of the pandemic that has left at least one person dead in protests. Now, in an address to the nation, he said that he would name a new cabinet chief as well as a new health and education minister in the coming hours for the sake of peace. More changes to the cabinet will be evaluated next week, adding that the new health minister will have to mandate to make all possible efforts to guarantee the timely supply of medicine and supplies. Protests over handling of this health crisis in the country led to the cabinet reshuffling and shaping up to the biggest test of Benitez's presidency since a controversial electricity deal with Brazil, which almost led to his impeachment in 2019. On Saturday, thousands of people poured into the streets of downtown Asunción for a second night, chanting, saying that the president should leave. And on Friday, protests also broke out. This is terrific news. It's just a pity you're not going to see this in Europe, in America, or any other Western democracy. It's really a pity, because if you aren't up for the job, let someone else do it. Anyway, hey, we were supposed to talk with Grant from Dubai today, and he actually had his COVID his first COVID jab today, and he messaged me before the show started to say apparently the jab's playing with his mind or something, so he's hallucinating or something. So we're not chatting to him today. We're chatting to him on Thursday. So make sure that you're back here listening live on Thursday. Tomorrow, we are talking to a guy called Aiden. He's in Berlin, and he's got a show called Unmatch Me Now. It's a terrific show. Basically, if you aren't that smart and aren't that clever and haven't realized and figured out by the title of his show, he talks about bad Tinder experiences, bad dating experiences, bad first dates. Because we know we've all been through that. And it's his shows are very funny, very, very interesting, very indulging. And we're going to be chatting to him tomorrow on the show. I think that's going to be a very fun interview. I'm looking forward to that. And on Wednesday, we're going to be talking to somebody called Victoria. And I mentioned her before. She interviewed me a few months ago. And she's going to be joining not just the show, but she's going to be joining our platform here at Amsterdam Lab. So you'll get a chance to listen to all of her shows. So lots to happen. We've got so many other people we're going to be talking with this coming week. So make sure you're listening to The Wade Hutchinson Show here on Amsterdam Lab. You don't want to miss it. Lots of interviews, lots of news, lots of laughter. Natasha's going to be joining us. Marius is going to be joining us. You don't want to miss this